You may be seated. Let us pray. God, in these next few moments, I ask that there be less and less of me and more of you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I think I'm going to need a stool up here. This is a little bit shorter than I remember, or else I've shrunk. So next time I'll do that for you. My oldest daughter likes to ask questions to avoid going to bed, and so last night she walked out of her room as I was going downstairs, and she said, "Mommy, why is it taking so long for Halloween to get here?" And my husband was walking down the stairs too, and he had to cover his mouth because he just bust out laughing. I said, "I don't know, but you need to go to bed." So she, like many other kids and us like adults, she's just trying to figure out this thing called life. How does the world work? What is it like? Nicodemus had quite a few questions for Jesus in today's text. So think about how you would compare your search for God for the questions of Nicodemus. Is your search more intellectual? Is it more straightforward? Different, but just as real? Are you not sure? These questions, this search, this is the movement of the Spirit in our lives. We have been empowered by Pentecost's wind and fire. Now we move directly into this Sunday that calls us to live as if the Spirit of Pentecost still moves in and through us. Emboldened by the Spirit, we immerse ourselves in the unfathomable mystery of God as three in one and one in three. On this Trinity Sunday, we're given some answers to these questions as we learn more about the Holy Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John brings to a climax the full purpose of God in Christ. The Gospel of John shows Jesus inwardly. The divine is truly exposed for us. We praise God in all of the ways that God, the holy, the sacred, the divine meets us. The Trinity is God striving to be near us, to meet us in every conceivable way, because the way that I meet God may not be the way that you meet God. God is a triune. God has no limitations. God is everywhere, and God is always. This is divine love in action. As we go through life, every now and then we have those defining, life-altering moments. Something out of the ordinary happens to us and changes the course of our lives. We see the world in a brand new way. Think about one of those times in your life. Everything is different. Nothing is ever the same again. As we think about those defining, life-changing moments, we find some common elements among them. For instance, often in these life-changing moments, we experience the holy. There's an encounter with the divine or sacred. Maybe not right away. It might take us some time afterwards to be able to reflect on that. But usually it's there. This is what happened with the prophet Isaiah, which is another lectionary text for today. King Uzziah has died, and that prompts Isaiah to go to the temple. There in the temple, Isaiah had an encounter with the holy, a vision of God's Spirit. This vision forever changed his life, the lives of his people, and the course of world religion. Pretty powerful. Most of the time, we're just going along through life. We're unaware and oblivious to God and God's working in our lives. But then something happens. It causes us to experience God or feel that we're in the direct presence of the divine. All of a sudden, it seems that God's Spirit, whether it be for the first time ever or in a new and different way, has broken into our world. It seems that God is speaking to us, trying to tell us something. We are then humbled by this encounter of the Holy, and then often we gain a sense of being called to act and to serve. We find that wisdom is calling us, beckoning us to a deeper understanding of and relationship with God. The Holy Spirit calls out to each of us, convicting, convincing, and leading us to the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to answer wisdom's beckon, the Holy Spirit's call and movement in our lives? We are called to live a life in Christ and to develop into what Christ wants us to become. A significant part of that calling is for us to have a relationship with the parts of the Trinity and of the Trinity as a whole, just as each part of the Trinity's relationship with another part is an example of relationships for us. With the combined Sunday school class this morning with the children, we made Play-Doh. We had white flour, we had salt, and we had water. All different parts, but when blended together, they made Play-Doh. We also talked about water. Water can exist in three forms. Water as liquid, water as solid, which is ice, and water as gas, which is steam. All water, but three different parts. In Henry Nouwen's book of short meditations called Here and Now, Living in the Spirit, I came across beautiful explanations of what our relationships to the Trinity and to one another are to look like. If you're looking for a devotional guide, it had so many different short part-page meditations in it. And even though I read through it all at once, I look forward to going back and breaking it into some daily readings. So, for example, Jesus takes many opportunities to go and be alone to pray to God and to listen to the Spirit. Jesus also tells us later on in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, verse 9, that he has loved us just as the Father has loved him. Jesus' love for us is the full expression of God's love for us because Jesus and God are one. These words have a direct and radical implication for how we live our relationships on a day-to-day basis. God wants not only to be a God for us, but also a God with us. That happens in Jesus who walks with us, talks with us, and dies with us. In sending Jesus to us, God wants to convince us of the unshakable fidelity of the divine love. When Jesus leaves, he says to us, "I will not leave you alone, but will send you the Holy Spirit." The Spirit of Jesus is God within us. We are called to model that triune relationship in our relationships with others. We must take time to nurture those connections to the Trinity and those connections to humanity. Henry Nouwen wrote, "The Holy Spirit of God is given to us so that we can become participants in God's compassion and reach out to all people at all times with God's heart. We are called to be living signs of God's faithful presence among us." One of my callings in life besides ministry is to build relationships and connect with people through photography. But I'm known by some of my friends and my family to have frames that sit empty in our house, or they have those pictures that come with the frame, and I never get around to changing them. So John likes to make so-called comments about our so-called friends and family. And I like to see how long it takes for him to see when I've actually filled the frame. I even caught him once telling one of the kids about their long-lost relative. I wonder, if you had an empty frame, what picture would you want to be sure was put into the frame for all to see? I was reminded of my bad habit one time of not immediately filling our picture frames when I watched a movie called The Switch. There's a scene where the little boy is being tucked into bed for the night, and the grown-up asks him why he doesn't put pictures in the frames that he collects. The boy shares that he likes to pretend the happy people in the frames are his family, and he goes on to share some of their stories and his imagined memories. The grown-up is then asked about his dad, and he shares that he doesn't know anything about his dad. This moment before bedtime is a beautiful time of sharing and confession between these two individuals. It brings them closer together through their vulnerability and their honesty. I believe that this time of confession and acceptance is similar to the confession and acceptance that we should have with others as we grow together in Christ. It is also reflective of what our relationship with God should look like. God loves us unconditionally. God gives us grace and desires to be in a relationship with us. In other parts of Scripture, we're given some tips as to how we can be born again, how we can live a new and renewed life, as we heard from the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We can recognize and utilize the spiritual gifts that we've been given. In Isaiah, we hear that we are called in Christ. We have to figure out what that calling is and live it out in the best ways that we know how. And from the gospel, we are to bring one another to Jesus as we build authentic relationships. We must be vulnerable about our imperfections and worries and confess to each other, and then love one another by sharing God's forgiveness through Jesus' death upon the cross for our salvation. This week, we can practice living anew in our lives at home, at school for the last couple days, and at work. And we can also think about how we are called to sing a new song in the world. What can we do to build relationships that build up the world that Christ wants us to live in, that bring into the center those in the margins? The good news is that God showed us the example of new life in the resurrection of Jesus. We are given means of grace. In the United Methodist tradition, those means of grace are prayer, searching and studying the scriptures, fasting or abstaining, and Christian conferencing or conversations with others. As we practice these, the Holy Spirit renews our life. We confess, we ask for and give forgiveness to others, and this includes sometimes the hardest person to forgive, ourselves. And we go out and live the life that God has called us to live. We share the light, the forgiveness, the love, and the new song about our risen Savior with others. A short while ago, I asked you what photo you would want to make sure got put into a picture frame. Now I want you to think about this. What new photo needs to be taken and put into that frame? What do you see yourself going out and doing? What would a photo of you look like after you had turned back towards God and received forgiveness and acknowledged God's grace? After building a new relationship or strengthening an old one, who would be in the photo with you? My prayer for you is that you don't wait. like me, to put a photograph in that frame. I hope that there is a new photo that will fill the empty space or replace an old picture. May you leave this place today with a sense of urgency and the spirit ablaze in your hearts. Amen.